Hey, welcome everybody to the Sense in the Geek podcast, coming at you from Yokohama, Japan. I am Jay Friendly.
And I'm Rob Beck in Fuji City.
And today our guest is one of the only women we know in Japan, not because we're misogynistic, just because we're married. And she is Alisa Narila. Alisa is a long-term resident of Japan. She's been here for 17 years. She actually came 1 month after I did, and that's how long I've known her, because I met her right when she came. And she is a teacher in Hamamatsu, yeah, in Shizuoka Prefecture. She likes baking, and she dislikes Japanese summer. And she wishes she was watching American Gods instead of talking to us, but being the awesome girl she is sacrificing her American God time to talk with us. Yeah. Thanks for coming, Alisa.
Sacrificing a bit more time than I thought I would be, but it's all right. Good.
Yeah, this actually isn't our first go about this.
Yeah, we somebody are on round messed three. Up. Somebody messed up really bad.
And to be clear on that, it wasn't Alisa, and it wasn't anyone whose last name ends in Friendly.
Who could it be?
So anyways, go on to the social networking stuff. Look up for us on social networking. We're there. If you don't find us, keep looking. Look for our podcast on the podcasting places. You actually probably found one already because you're listening to us right now. Unless you're listening on our site, in which case, go find a podcasting place and listen to us there. That's all I'm going to say about that. Oh, except I will put out our site. We are www.senseiandthegeek.com. Hyphens in between those words. So, Rob.
Yeah, man.
Heard you had a little bit of time with your daughter this evening.
I did. I'm still emotionally drained and elated. I don't know. Not drained. I don't even know what to call it. But anyway, yeah. Had some great time with my daughter this evening, and yeah, made a connection again. I was surprised how it would affect me. Obviously, so it affected me so much that I literally screwed up about 20 minutes worth of podcast. We had to redo the whole thing because I was just like, yay, I was like giddy from it. Yeah.
When I say I heard you had some time with your daughter, I heard it from you. Yeah. On the last time we did this.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. I'm sorry to Alisa, you know, I mean, she's a trooper. I mean, she's not watching American Gods. And I get that. I want to watch it too. I'm stoked. I didn't
right,
even
let's see do it. This then and get it over with, and we can all go on our way.
Let's do it. All right. Well, that's all for today, folks.
Yeah. Nice talking to you.
I already watched it. Yeah. I already watched it, so I'm in no rush like you guys.
Yeah. It's a great show, though, don't you think?
Oh, I love it.
I am liking it.
Jay was the first one to introduce me to American Gods. He was saying, like, I read the book. You should maybe check it out. It's kind of okay. And then when they started making the series, you know, I'm like, oh, this is the book that you said that was pretty good. But even Jay admits that the what they're doing with the series, the production value and everything that's going on with it, is far surpasses what the book was. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting. Don't you guys think?
I didn't like the book so much, to be honest. I don't know. I find it definitely translates better to screen for me. I'm enjoying it much more as a TV show than I did as a book. Have you read it, Alisa?
Have you met me?
I mean, I know you read everything of everything, so I'd be surprised if you hadn't, but...
Yes. It's been a while, though. I need to reread it.
What do you think as compared to the book? You think you like it more or less? You think it holds up well?
I think it really holds up well. I haven't actually read the book in a while, so I need to do a reread after the show is finished. But I think it translates very well to the TV. Although it's something that I think could only be done now with CGI and all that kind of stuff. If you tried doing it a bit before, it would have been just quite cheesy.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, the production value is really high, so it's definitely done well.
Yeah, they're doing a lot with the
mosquito floating around here, so there may be some random clapping sounds in the swearing in my part of the podcast.
Well, you can swear all you want, and anytime we hear applause, I'll just take it that I said something good.
she claps.
I like their use of slow motion and also like getting into the break and kind of Nothing character-wise, but like getting into like just simple details of like a shot of like a kettle or something like that. I mean, they're really, really cinematic in how they're approaching it. So I appreciate that. But yeah, it's a slow burn for sure. It's like getting really interesting for me.
Oh yeah, like there's only one more episode left, and they haven't even made it, I think, halfway into the book.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like it is. It's quite.
I'm really liking the leprechaun.
Yeah, I did. I never knew that a dead lady and leprechaun road trip comedy was the thing I needed in my life, and it turns out that's what was missing.
Zombie leprechauns.
Yes.
No, yeah, that's right. That's really good. It's really good. But actually, so, she got me turned on to, in. So I kind of mentioned to her watching the hand. What the handmaid?
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you know about that, Jay?
Well, I know it's a book by Margaret Atwood, who is a Canadian author, and it was written in the 80s.
Yeah. So it's always been good, right? It's always been on my radar, people, and I didn't get it. I did because I never read it, so I never got it. But it was something like, it's like every time I would be on a, to read list of sci-fi and stuff like that, or fantasy, it was always on there. But I didn't understand. I was like, well, what could this be? It wasn't something that I was trying to pick up, but,
Well, you know, this might come off as misogynistic, and if it does, it's probably might be misogynistic.
I feel like anytime you start a statement with "this might come off as misogynistic,"
it is.
It probably is. Yeah. Well, it's a good possibility.
This might come off as misogynistic, but women are the worst.
Well, no. I love women. My mom's a woman. Come on.
Oh, nice.
Shout out to mom. I love you, mom. I'm not a big fan of female authors in general. Now, that's not absolute. And it's not that I have anything against them being female. It's just that I find when I read female authors, they don't hit me as hard. Now, I don't think it's anything to do with the writing style. Like, I don't think there's, like, I'm not saying they're less a writer. I'm saying that I'm not the target audience generally. Or.
See, that's.
So that.
That's the bullshit, though, because, like, women are supposed to just read books by male writers, and it's like. Not the target audience,
well, no.
But we're supposed to identify with the main male character anyway.
I don't think you necessarily need to.
Female characters.
Yeah, and see, that's why I think female authors would be better for women. Like, be honest. Do you not find you prefer female authors to male authors?
I mean, I wouldn't say prefer. I know a lot of male authors that I quite enjoy, but certainly it depends on the... There are certain books where you're just like, dude, no, that's not how women... off. Just stop.
Well, you know, one book I always thought was really good back in the day was The Outsiders, which was a male protagonist and written by a female author. And I mean, I loved that book when I was
Outsiders.
A kid. I would have never guessed it was a female author. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not absolute. Boy. Like, I'm not saying I'm not into female authors. What I'm saying is generally when I read stories by female authors, they don't hit me as hard. And it's not because they're, well, I mean, I think it is because they're female, but I'm not saying that they're lesser authors. I think they're just as good as male authors. I'm just saying that for me, reading it, like what actually like hits me emotionally, I generally find that male authors strike me more emotionally than female authors do. Yeah, that was misogynistic.
Yeah, so well,
hey, to give Jay a little bit of credit, he actually read all the Hunger Games novels. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how is it? He's like, well, you know, I just finished 5 pages of them talking about their wardrobe. And it was a hard sell. And I was like, okay, that makes sense, you know. So
well, in the context of the book, it made sense though, because she was skewering reality TV culture, which is all
right. Well, no, you're right.
It wasn't
and
just
it did
like,
make
oh,
sense.
I'm gonna go out and hunting, and I need to know which camouflage to wear.
Well, I don't know. That's how it felt to me, honestly. But that's the whole point. So I think that those were well written books, and like I mean, they got me through them all. But the whole like talk like pages and pages about attire honestly drove me nuts. And to be honest, her character drove me nuts too. And it's kind of too bad because I have a hard time watching Jennifer Lawrence in anything now because the character annoyed me so much that after watching 3.5 Hunger Games movies, I never finished the last one.
Well,
but
you have to remember, like, yeah, I agree with you. Like, her character was a bit flat, but you know, she's a teenager suffering from extreme PTSD, so it's
yeah.
She's not gonna be, you know, I actually gave those books to a friend of mine because I knew he'd enjoy them. He likes that kind of stuff, and he apparently, without noticing, picked up the second book and read it first, thinking it was the first one. Didn't realize until he finished the book and went to get one of the next ones, and he told me about it. So I was like, well, didn't you think it was weird that it started you like right in the middle of the story with no explanation. He said, I just thought that was a really interesting stylistic choice that the author was making. Really impressed.
all these back references that aren't fully explained.
But I'm actually reading a series like that, that actually starts like that. It actually is pretty interesting when you get into something that just drops you in like mid.
Yeah, but if you knew it was coming, whatever, it would be kind of all right. But if you were just sitting there kind of going, like, am I in the right book? I'd be Googling that right now. Like, am I reading this in the right order? What's happening?
No, it's challenging. Crazy? Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, so, I'm with you because I think I would notice. I'd be into it. I'd be like, I'm pretty sure I'm missing an important reference here.
Yeah. That's
all right. So, Jay, who's your favorite female author then? Put him on the spot.
Why don't you, eh? Well, no, I've never read anything by her. I mean, I've heard of The Handmaid's Tale, obviously. I knew, like, when it was written and that she wrote it. But I can't say I have a favorite female author, honestly. I mean, I mostly read male stuff. So, I feel bad saying that, like, but because it just points out more of my misogyny. But, okay. I mean, I can say my favorite author.
Anne Rice.
No.
You didn't like Anne Rice? You didn't read any Anne Rice stuff?
Nope, not a vampire fan.
Her early stuff was good.
Yeah.
Like the first couple of vampire books, and then it just kind of went off the rails.
Oh, she's still writing? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, I think she is. Yeah, and it's just gone completely... Like, I haven't picked any up in probably well over a decade, but yeah, as far as I know, gone completely off the rails.
She was good, though, man. Mm. Some of that stuff, that early stuff, was really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, she was doing vampires back before vampires were a thing, is kind of the thing.
Then that's right, because...
Then they got overplayed. Oh, go on, sir. They got overplayed. The whole Twilight
game. What was the Interview with a Vampire? That was Anne Rice, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that was way back in the day. That was, like, early 90s when that movie came out. And so the book was obviously out well before that even, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yep.
So for all our listeners, in case you haven't put two and two together, maybe you missed a big cultural reference here, Elisa is an avid reader, and probably the most avid reader I've ever known, actually. I think you read more than anyone I've ever met.
She's reading right now.
Yeah, I am. It's no, but that's actually a really good idea for when you guys are talking. I could just be like, pick up my American Gods and just start to going through that.
So what are you reading right now?
Oh, actually, I'm not. I just finished The Handmaid's Tale. I was rereading that. And so I've got kind of like a non-fiction book on the side because it's good, but it's not one of those things where you have to stay up all night. But generally speaking, I try not to read during the week because I won't go to sleep. I'm not good at putting the book down.
I can understand that. I mean, I wear glasses because when I was a kid, my mom used to like make me go to sleep and I'd read by the streetlights outside and I wrecked my eyes. I hear what you're saying.
It's not wise. Every now and then I'll be like, no, I can do it. I'll just pick it up. I'll read a few pages. I'll go to bed at a reasonable time. And the next thing I know, it's 4 a.m. And it's like, I gotta work. I just don't want to finish this.
Okay, another question to put you on the spot then. So what's your favorite book?
Jesus Christ.
I've read that. It was
the
pretty
Bible.
Good.
The Bible. Interesting.
It's pretty good. He dies, by the way, in the end. Spoiler. Sorry.
Oh god, I can't.
Comes back. It's all good. It comes back.
I can't even pick one. Although I say actually, it's kind of a cliche, but what I read over and over again is Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. It's a classic for a reason. You'd hate it. It's by a lady.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't hate it. It probably just I might even try and read it since you said that. I'm actually kind of curious. Like, but although that's like a period drama, like late 1800s or something, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's very quiet. Like, you know, not a lot of stuff happens. And
See, that's a period of time that doesn't hit me very well either, to be honest. So we're going for a double whammy here: female author and a time period.
The spoof of it called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
That's right. That's actually a TV show
thing. Yeah. Was it a TV show or was it made into a movie?
Was it a movie? No, I think... Okay.
I think it was just made into a movie because I don't think anyone thought that they could get a TV show out of it.
That's right.
You know, you could ease into it, perhaps. Read that one first.
Problem is, I'm not a zombie guy either.
It's so true.
We're not moving forwards on this.
Maybe just don't read Pride and Prejudice.
So, okay. Well, then how about this? What's a good book you've read recently?
All of them. Actually, no, I was just, not recently, but I was actually just going to suggest if you've ever Have you ever read Jasper Ford?
No.
F-F-O-R-D-E. He's a Welsh writer. No. And you cannot describe his books without sounding like a complete lunatic. Yeah, he does this... he's got a couple of series, but the one, The Air Affair, is set in like an alternate reality where books are more important than pretty much anything else. And there's actually kind of a literary police, and somehow this lady gets sucked into the world of the books because someone's trying to change the endings, like literally, like they're going into the book. The characters are all there, and it's you can't talk about it without sounding like a complete nutcase. But it is really, really interesting and unlike anything else I've ever read.
Okay, well that sounds interesting. That sounds like something. Yeah, and all the books have so
in the world there's like instead of Big Pharmacy, there's like Big Toast. So like. Toast is it's literally like one of the biggest companies. So there's actually ads for it in the book. Big Toast. And ads for whales that just say, it doesn't rain all the time.
Really?
Yeah. And it's,
that sounds different.
It's so different. Like, it's just, it's so unique. And
like, I said, okay, well, that's cool. I'm going to check that out. Honestly, that's
And let me know what you think. And
it kind of sounds like a little bit of Douglas Adams style, if you think about
like
it.
Like,
right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not Welsh. Really, like, when you read it, you're like, this is nothing like Douglas Adams, but still, at the same time, is that sort of out there, satirical, just what is happening in this man's brain kind of thing happening?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Drugs.
You're getting a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas vibe from it, RJ.
You know, there's another one that I thought translated better to the screen than in the print. So I read that book back in the day when I was like, I think I was 17. And I couldn't follow what was going on because he was so high on drugs. It was hard to tell like what was like actually happening and what was just in his head. So when I was able to see it visually, I was able to sort it out a little better. Although you still actually can't really tell what's happening versus what's going on in his head, which I think is the whole point of the movie. But
yeah,
I love the movie.
Actually, that's one I haven't read, but from my understanding is that's the point. What's wrong?
Yeah, I had a really hard time following it. But have you seen the movie?
Actually, no.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I love it. Absolutely love it. I've seen it at least 10 times, I'd say. I mean, it's got... What was the first Spider-Man? What was that kid's name? Toby
Maguire.
Yeah.
He has a cameo in it. It was before he was famous. He's in, like, the first scene of the movie, and it's worth a watch. So, I love that movie. And that's when I actually started liking Benicio del Toro as well. You know, just his character in the, and actually that's the first time I really realized Johnny Depp knew how to act. I mean, before that, I thought he was just a pretty boy. You know, he was in 21 Jump Street back in the day, and he was in a couple movies. But when I saw that movie, I was like, wow, this guy actually knows how to act. He's not just playing at it. This guy is like a real proper, like straight up actor. And
has he been in anything recently other than the pirate movies?
He was Tonto.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Has he been in anything good lately?
Yeah, maybe not good. Mordecai movie.
Going back to, do you know what he's going to be in? Is I think it's the new universe, Monster Universe, the Dark Universe. You guys know about this?
Oh yeah, the Mummy just came out
and it bombed. Yeah. But so they have a lot of A-list actors lined up to play, and so Johnny Depp is going to be the Invisible Man in that universe.
Ew. If they decide to go any farther after the Mummy.
If they can afford it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the Mummy crash, they might not do that anymore, right?
Well, they got a lot of people lined up for it. No, no. They might just roll with it like DC did. They had a couple of stumbling blocks, and they just came out with Wonder Woman, which is crushing the universe right now. So we'll see how that goes.
Although not in Japan until August. Whatever. Did you see the marketing for Wonder Woman in Japan?
Well, Jay wouldn't have. It was directed by a woman, so probably he's not going to watch it.
I'm not into superheroes. It has nothing to do with the woman.
He just hates women. No, but the tagline apparently for the Japanese promotion translates to something like, she may be a superhero, but she's innocent and naive in the ways of men and love.
What? No way. Yes. You are shitting me.
No, I'm not. I'll send you the article. That I found can't it in, be true. It's just like, no, it's No, come on, think about it. That is 100% how they would portray a female superhero in Japan.
Oh my god.
She kicks That's ass, rough. But she's Even married. I wouldn't write that.
I mean, I feel like a lot of Japanese people are going to go in expecting basically live-action Sailor Moon and then be very confused.
No. I mean, from all sources, it's a very, very good movie. I mean, Gal Gadot is like, you know, they didn't whitewash it. Like, you know, they didn't try to get, you know, someone in there to you know, play this ethnic superhero. Got, you know, it was really, really well done from what I heard. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but that tagline is horrific.
Oh, it's...
Well, I just did a bit of Googling here. I can't find the original Japanese in the article, but the translation they give here, she's supposed to be one of the most powerful superheroes in existence, but she's also an incredibly innocent, naive girl who knows nothing about men or love.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a whole fish out of water tale, right? That's what they're trying to get at, is like, oh, you know, come to the, you know, because they're supposedly in the enclosed, like Japan was, right? You know, they don't have any accessibility to the outside world, and then when they do, it's like, I don't understand. Oh, what does this mean? What is love? What is, because it's an Amazonian style society,
an
right?
island full of women. What, they're obviously nothing's happening there.
Well,
sitting around,
I mean,
having
to be fair,
tea parties and knitting scarves every night.
Well, to be fair, she probably wouldn't know anything about men then.
Oh, yeah, okay, that I will grant you.
Yeah. But, the whole, well, I mean, she might know something about love. I mean,
or she might not, but I mean, that shouldn't be the tagline. I mean, that's not what's going to put people in the seats. Like, it's not the fish out of water story that's intriguing. It's the whole idea of this, I don't know, super capable human being who is one of the most powerful entities in the universe, right? That's what it is.
But she needs herself a man.
So are you going to go see it, Rob?
What's that?
Yeah. Are you going to go see it?
Nah.
Are you going to go see it, Elisa?
Well, I'm hoping to, but actually there's a good possibility. Like, I'm going to the UK in the summer for my summer holidays, and there's probably a strong possibility to be playing on the airplane by then.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a good possibility.
That happens a lot.
Well, so let's talk a bit about you, since we've been talking a bit about books and stuff like that. Why don't you give us a bit of your background? I mean, I know it. Rob knows it, but no one else does. Well, I mean, someone else does. But probably
Ernie
not
knows.
Most of the people who are listening. Or, well, or, actually, I don't think you've ever met Ernie, have you?
Never.
Lisa?
I'm trying to remember.
Became our manager after you
after
left.
After I left, yeah. I'm trying to remember because I was still friends with some of the people who were working there, and I might have gone to like a couple of peppy parties. But...
Yeah, I mean, you probably heard about him.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
knows... He knows who you are, is what he was saying, because I was talking about you. I was saying yesterday or this morning that we were going to have you on the podcast here. Mm-hmm. So, but he didn't think he'd ever met you either. So, or he wasn't sure. It was basically the same
if
thing.
If we did meet,
saying.
It would have been in like a party filled with lots of people, with just like, hey,
yeah.
Hey.
So I just spent the week with him and Mie there eating good beef, which, you know, if Rob hadn't screwed up our first round of this podcast, everyone else would have heard too. But check out our pics on our last week's podcast on Facebook, and you can see some of the pictures of the excellent beef I ate that was very, very delicious. So anyways, going back to you, Elisa, so tell us what brought you to Japan and so on.
Well, it was basically after I finished university, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to travel. And I'd been to Japan before as an exchange student, like just 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. And I thought, well, you know, go back and work because I'm too poor to just travel. So the plan was to come to Japan for a year, maybe two, work, save up some money. And then I thought, you know, I'll either go back to Canada or maybe I'll move, you know, try teaching in Korea or China or move around. And it's, you know, it's 17 years later and I've got like furniture
and, here you are.
And shit. And I'm like, I'm not leaving. I just bought new furniture.
I just bought new furniture.
You're not moving me out of this place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
I actually.
Go ahead, dude.
Go on.
Well, I was going to say.
I saw your pictures.
God damn it!
I'm doing it. I saw your pictures on Facebook, your kitchen, and it's very pretty.
Yeah, it's looking a lot better.
Yeah. All right, your turn, Rob.
All right. Well, I was gonna say too is, and like when I talk to people, like even when I talk to my wife and said, "Man, I'm gonna have Alisa on," she's like, "Alisa's still in Japan?" It's like, yeah. So it's definitely you must get this a lot too, where when people ask me how long I've been in Japan, and I say 17 years, which is the same as you. Obviously, you know, we came in together. You must get the same reaction that I get, which is,
are you going back to Canada?
Really? Like, yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing here? That's a long time.
Yeah.
But for you,
well, in your case, you've got a wife and kids, so that's sort of.
Well, yeah. So I've got the anchor.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm like,
So what do you get then?
Well, I happen to have a really good job. Once I left Pepe, I landed quite. I could easily talk bad shit about Pepe for the next half hour.
It's funny. We've actually never mentioned Pepe until now. You're the first person to mention Pepe.
Okay, good. So
we've always called it that company we worked
for.
That
company. For, so. All right. Well, you can leave that part out, perhaps.
No, it's all good. It is what it is. Good.
It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't terrible. I just we did not get off on the right foot. Mm. And yeah, it was, I mean, it was a big company. Anything that like that is not going to be great. And now I work for a very small school. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot better in terms of hours and pay and being able to do what I want to do in the classroom.
And have you been there for like 13 years, like ever since you left
Pepe? Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I have students that I have seen literally grow up from infants.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kidding. All teenagers, and I'm just like, okay, this is, how do parents do that? That's weird.
It's just as weird when you're a parent.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta.
It's just as weird when you're a parent. Like, it's you know, I'm sure Rob's thinking that watching his daughter going through puberty and being a pubescent girl.
I'm literally gonna start crying again. I'm thinking
Rob about being a pubescent girl
so fast.
What? Rob's starting to have this beautiful moment, and Jay's just like
hacking him. It's what we do. Well, good. So you know, so I gotta say, I mean. I was kind of joking about it earlier, saying we don't really know any girls, but that's actually it's true. I don't really know any girls anymore in Japan because you're a bit of an anomaly in that pretty much most girls go home after a year or two here. You're the only girl. I actually don't think I've ever met another girl that's been here as long as you have. I've known of a couple.
Well, I think a big thing of it is that if you're like a foreign female in Japan and you would like someday to get married and have children, it's very rare that it's going to happen. Yeah, like I have friends who have done it, like they're married to Japanese guys and they've, you know, but it is very rare. And
why is that though?
Well,
in your opinion?
In my opinion. I think a lot of Japanese guys are kind of scared. they're too shy, like, you know, me in particular, but no, like it's a bit of a cliche, but like, there's the stereotype that Japanese women are a bit more perhaps open-minded to dating foreigners than men are. Like, the women are a bit braver. They're the women are the ones who tend to go overseas. They go on trips. You know, the men just kind of work, basically. And obviously that's a horrible overgeneralization, but
what we wanted you here for was to overgeneralize for us.
All Japanese people are like this.
Overgeneralize.
No, but we wanted your female perspective on this, because that's the thing. Rob and I obviously don't have that.
Yeah, so. So most of the women I know, like I've known people who have specifically left because they wanted to get married and they were just like, it's not going to happen here. So I had to go back to my home country to at least give it a shot. Because, like the Japanese men often either not interested or they're too shy to show that they're interested, and the foreign guys we might as well not exist.
Expand on that a little bit.
It's just, you know, like, well, you guys remember when you were, especially when you were younger, you guys remember when you first came here and it's like all the beautiful Japanese women, and they're all, especially when you first came here, exotic and
and it's taking, just like, me back, you know, baby.
Get out of my way, white girl. Like, you're in the way of the...
Oh, that's so bad.
It's,
but I remember having a lot of foreign female friends back when I was younger, way more than I have now.
Oh yeah, you still get like all the, I would say, it sounds so old, but you still get all the young ones coming in on the ALT programs and whatnot. But yeah, like I said, they tend to leave after a few years. Cause...
But you're saying like all the guys at the time were enamored by the whole...
I can only speak to my own personal experience and pretty much every other dude here and say, I think Elisa's probably right. I mean, it's true. It's like we grew up with the white girls back home, the Western girls back home that we're all used to. And we come here and there's just like these exotic girls who many of them are interested in talking to us, or at the very least, they're a little too afraid to tell us to go away the way a lot of Western girls will. And so, you know, that was a thing. Now, that said, I mean, I have known a few guys who specifically preferred foreign girls. You know, they just felt there was a better match for them. So, like, my buddy Shane, who lives in the UK now, who also worked for a company that is now been named. he married a British girl, and he went back. He's Canadian, but he went back to Britain with her. And I remember him saying, he's like, yeah, I'm just not really into Japanese girls. He's like, for me, it's a better match dealing with foreign girls. Or, well, I mean, they're not foreign to him, right? But yeah, Western girls.
I mean, yeah, you got makes sense too, like you got the culture thing in common and everything. Exactly. But yeah, I think as an overgeneralization, that's a big thing.
Well, it's a relatively accurate generalization. I mean, it is an overgeneralization because it's not going to be anyone, but I think you're more often right than wrong with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, I actually, off the top of my head, I only know two Western women who've ended up marrying Japanese guys and having kids with. And whereas I can count so many more foreign guys who have gotten married to Japanese ladies.
Well, I remember one girl. It was my first few months here. And to be honest, it was something that kind of stuck in my craw. And obviously, because I still remember it, but it kind of annoyed me because she said something. She's like, every time I see a foreign guy marry a Japanese girl, it's just a statistic. And, you know, I had a girlfriend I was really enamored with at the time. And it kind of, like, pissed me off. It's like, what the hell? You know, you're boiling down my love into a number. It's like, you know, to me, it's a little bit more than that.
Boiling your love is should be. We got to get that trending somewhere.
Right.
So, it makes sense.
So what do you think has been the difference for you then that's kept you around as long as you have?
I just don't particularly, I was not ever really huge on the whole marriage and family thing. I wouldn't have objected to it if life had turned out that way, but I also wasn't like, no, this is my thing, I gotta do this. I'm perfectly happy to be single, to be honest. I get to go on trips whenever I want. That's kind of the big thing for me. Like, okay.
Well, you do travel as much as anyone I know, pretty much. I mean, you're definitely on the road, for vacation in a lot of different places, so...
Yeah, if I've got a week off, I'm not... Well, other than Golden Week, because who wants to travel during Golden Week? But if I've got a week off, I'm not sticking around. And a lot of it tends to be fairly just spur of the moment. Like, I've got a holiday, where shall I go? Oh, look, Malaysia.
Well, the one I was actually kind of impressed with was when you went to Myanmar, Burma.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Friends in November, China? Yeah. That's a good place.
No, that's not China. Burma is west, left of Thailand.
Yeah.
Myanmar. It's west of Thailand.
Yes.
And they just opened it up recently in like the last 5 or 10 years, right?
Yeah. So it was still quite, I guess, new when we were there. They had, like, people were still really just excited to see tourists, you know, like, hey, people coming to our country and learning about our ways and also bringing us your money. not in a bad way, but, you know, it's like, I mean, quite a poor country in a lot of places. So to be able to go and spend your tourist dollars was really good. It was a beautiful country, although I went with some friends who were quite cheapskates. So when we got up to, it was okay, but we got up to Bagan, which is where all the stupa are, like that's the famous place to go see the sunrise. And the bus arrived at 4:30 in the morning, and this guy with a horse-drawn cart said, oh, for $5 American, I'll take you to like where all the stupa are and you can watch the sunrise. And my friend was just like, $5, that's a ripoff, we're not doing that. And so we went to the hotel and woke up the the clerk and dropped off our bags and asked for directions. Because it turns out we probably could have walked there, but it was also pitch black and we were in a place we'd never been before. And we ended up watching the sunrise on like this random street that was not very picturesque. And I'm still bitter about this. If they're listening, instead of paying the $5 American. Pardon?
Instead of spending the $5 American,
exactly. You ended up spending. Exactly. Like, I was like, that's, think about, like, you know, I mean, they're living in Hong Kong. I'm living in Japan. Like, what is five? But you can't even get into a taxi for five, the equivalent of five American dollars here, you know. And they're like, yeah right. But it's the principal. It's, I'm like, that's the going rate. Like, just, oh, yeah.
But I'm not, it was, well, you know,
it was beautiful.
That's a bit of a dilemma for me when I travel is that I want, if the principal of me wants to bargain with it, but the reality of me says, you know what? I can bargain them down that extra 50 cents, but that 50 cents to me is literally not even a drink, whereas that 50 cents of them might be a meal.
Yeah,
and so exactly, I try and keep that balanced in my head.
Yeah, like, when me and Jay were in Thailand, he bargained everywhere. Everywhere.
I
mean,
I bargain everywhere, bargaining. But I don't hit them too hard. And yeah, then like, I'll often pay a little more than I get it to anyway.
No, we literally walked away from taxis quite often.
Well, taxis are different. Taxis are outside.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to get your money. You know you can get a better deal. That's why.
Well, yeah. Taxis, taxis are scammers anywhere you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. In Japan, they're actually pretty good.
Although you did pay a big premium to get that taxi to drive you to the airport that one time at 100 miles.
Oh, my God. I was just thinking about that today. So, Elisa, we go to the airport. We stay it was our first night. And we're supposed to fly down south the next night. And so Rob and I get up and we go to the airport. We get to the airport and he's like, I got to go to the bathroom. And he goes to the bathroom and I start getting ready to go through security. And one of us forgot their passport in the hotel.
Well, actually, that's not the word. I was once on an airplane with someone who was flying her friend's passport to Vancouver Airport.
Oh, no way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Really? Luckily, her friend had gone down like the day before or something. So there was enough time. But her friend had to catch a flight from Prince George down to Vancouver to give her a passport.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's...
Well, fortunately, I just had to hop in a taxi, but I hop in the taxi. I get the taxi to drive me back to the hotel. I run in. I'd phoned first and told the girls I was coming. And so they like meet me. I'm like, thank you so much. I grab my passport, run out, find another taxi. I'm like, if you go faster, I'll give you more money. And he's cruising. And honestly, that was the scariest drive of my entire life from the hotel. Because this guy was cruising on the highway between cars. Like, you know, it's like 4 or 5 lane highway or whatever. But he's like literally between lanes, like going between vehicles. I was like, oh my God, maybe I don't need to get to the airport this fast. And you know what? In the end, it didn't matter because we missed our flights. No, I was in Thailand.
Okay, Bangkok. So from Bangkok to the airport is about...
I was going to say, because I can't imagine a Japanese taxi driver doing that. He'd be like,
no.
Sure you'll pay no, the meter,
they would never do that. They would never. Man, have you seen how slow the ambulances are here? I'm so mad. I told my wife, I'm like, if I'm going to die, don't call an ambulance. He's like, well, you can't get into the emergency room then. The ambulances are slow as hell. It's bad. But
that actually is a good point. You need an ambulance if you're going to a hospital here if you want to get service when you're in the emergency room.
I know,
otherwise, if you show up by any other means, they don't think you're actually hurt.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's crazy.
So.
And do you know this from personal experience?
So, what about some... Well, no, I know a doctor, actually. I'm hoping to get him on the podcast at one point, but he gave some advice one time. He gave, like, 5 points, and that's the only one I remember, but he said, even if you don't feel you need an ambulance, get an ambulance.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel you need emergency but don't feel you need an ambulance, still get an ambulance. That's basically how he put it. So
good to know.
Yeah. And
otherwise, you got to sit there and put your card in and sign up and line up.
Yeah. Oh, I suddenly can't hear you guys. There we go. So give us some other cool experiences. What are some other countries you've been to that you enjoyed?
Well, the most recent one, last Christmas, I went to Sri Lanka. Which I highly recommend.
Nice.
Yeah, we were there for 2 weeks, and it was an unusual form of transport for me. It was the first time I've done this. My friend and I, we hired a driver to drive us around for 2 full weeks.
Oh, wow. For 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. He was recommended by a friend of mine who'd been there a few years before, and she loves this guy. And it was... $80 a day for the two of us, so that's $40 each. That included all the driving, our hotels, hotel, his food, the gasoline, like that was everything. So it was, you know, I mean, you can do it cheaper like by yourself, but we were talking to this couple who'd come up on the train, and it was so crowded. Like, they got in a seat, but it was so crowded they couldn't move, and when they got off, their feet had swollen up to double size because they just couldn't, there was no blood flow. And I was like, we were cruising around in this little car, and...
Did he have champagne in the back for you?
Do you know what I did? So I brought a bottle of champagne, because we were there for Christmas, just after Christmas, and then we were there for New Year's. So I was like, well, I'm going to bring a bottle of champagne, and we'll sit in the hotel room, and I got a bottle of gin as well. There's a Kyoto distillery is doing like Japan's first gin or something. We'll sit around in the evening, we'll drink gin and tonic. Well, it turned out that, A, we were falling asleep by 9 p.m. every night, like just out of it. So much to do during the day, and just like get home, out. None of our hotels until the very last one had the mini fridges, so we couldn't chill the champagne.
Crappy.
Yeah, which was that was bad enough. But my friend, she's a Canadian, but she'd been in Australia for a few months before that, and so I'd asked her to bring this Australian cheese up with her because I was like, it's delicious. If you're ever you'll be in Australia, Mersey Valley, buy it. Thank me later.
Wow.
It's so good. And
she say that again one more time.
Mersey Valley. It's a Tasmanian cheese.
Mersey Valley.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of different flavors. Try them all.
I'll need to get someone to translate that into Australian for me. It's probably Mersey Valley, mate.
Anyways. You can write it down.
Mersey Valley, mate.
So she brought this
cheese with her. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the flow of your story.
No, she brought this cheese with her from Australia. There were no fridges in any of our hotels. So we were carrying this cheese around in like the trunk of a very hot car for 2 weeks. Next to the gin that we didn't find tonic for right away, and the warm bottle of champagne. And from time to time, we just pull it out and look at it in its container and say things like, I mean, cheese is its own preservative, right? Like, it's going to be fine. Right.
So, you age it.
Well, I did. Like, I brought this cheese all the way from Australia. I'm not throwing it out. So I actually brought it back to Japan.
And did you eat it? Like, was it okay still?
Yeah, well, what had happened was, like, kind of all the oils had sort of seeped out and then sort of congealed around it. So it wasn't really great looking. But, like, once you melted it on toast or something, it was fine. Like, I wouldn't have eaten it straight on crackers that particular way. But I was just like, I'm doing it. I'm trying. Like, I think I made a comment about, like,
Did you at least get the champagne?
We did, because we got to our last hotel, which was on a beach, which was amazing. Because at first we were like, oh, we're not really beach people. Like, we don't like to sit around in the sun and boil ourselves. And we got to the beach, like, this is the best idea ever. Holy shit. Which just goes to show that if you're... I can recommend this guy, Sunil, the driver, and just listen to him. Don't try and impose your own ideas of what you think. He knows what he's doing. So he booked us this hotel at the beach, and we're like, okay, we're here for 3 nights, which was amazing in and of itself, because we were actually gonna like stay somewhere for more than one night. And so we thought, we'll ask the hotel owner if we can put our champagne in his fridge. And so we did. He said, well, of course. He's like, but the rooms all have mini fridges. And we just stared at him like, wires of angels going off over our heads. And we did have to fight really hard to stay up late enough to finish the champagne. Like, we're like, okay, we're doing it. We're opening the champagne. We're not falling asleep at 9 o'clock. We don't have to do anything tomorrow. We can sleep in. And it was just still like we were drinking the last bottle, kind of like the last drags, kind of going, this was amazing. Can we go to bed now? It was like 10 p.m. or something.
That's so awesome.
Well, so now I have a question here for you. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned that Sri Lanka was really awesome, but so far the only things you've said about it were cheese and wine, and gin and champagne. Was the country good or was the champagne was good?
Like that, we did 2 weeks and we did kind of like a loop, like not around the entire country, but we did like kind of the interior circle. And the first few days we went up north, which is where all the ancient ruins are. So you've got all these like 2,000-year-old ruins and castles and temples, and some of the temples are still in use, which is just, I mean, coming from a country that's turning 150 this year, like to walk into a temple that's been in continuous use for more than 2,000 years, it's just like, wow.
That's crazy.
And so there's all these ruins, and a lot of them you could just walk around on, like, you know, like, you know, our guide would tell us about who, like, the kings that had built it and blah blah blah. And that was about 4 days. That was really, really good, but the fourth day we were kind of ruined out, basically. We were just like, yeah, I
you were ruined.
We were ruined. It was just like, do you want to see any more old Stone structures? If I never see another Buddha again, it'll be too soon. but it was then we went down to Kandy for New Year's. And there, because it was New Year, so all the temples were super crowded. So instead, he took us shopping, which was a nice little break. Got all our souvenirs for people. That was kind of it. We stopped at this one. Like, there's a lot of spice gardens around Kandy. So there's a lot of, spices, basically. Like, you get all the wonderful things. But they're kind of, you go in, and they give you the tour, and they show you all the plants and everything. And then there's, like, the thing where they sit you down, and they're like, and this is good for this condition, and this is good for this condition. And they want you to buy their stuff. So we got in knowing that that was going to happen. But what happened was our driver told the guy that we were in a bit of a hurry, so we only wanted, like, a short version of the tour. And this guy was checked out for the day. He, like, sped walk us through the garden. And he would stop, and he'd be like, pick up sandalwood. You know, sandalwood, very good for lines and wrinkles and dark spots. And he just smeared it on our face. Faces. Like, basically insinuating that we were wrinkled and spotty. And then he's like, and what do all women want? And we were like, not to be told they're wrinkled champagne. And spotty. And he's like, yeah, oh, no. Cheese, nice, I don't know. Nice. And he's like, starts poking our stomachs, going, to lose weight. And he's like, this will help you lose weight. And we're like, oh, no. Basically, at the end of it, he'd insinuated that we were old, fat, hairy, wrinkled. Ugly. I feel like I'm missing one or something, and we were just backing out of like the place. Like, this has been fun. I gotta go. So sorry, we're not buying anything. See you later. Jumped into the car. So yeah, we didn't buy anything there. But the next day, we went to a bunch of, like, they do batik and they do wood carving. And the wood carving guy made a much better salesperson. He's showing us the different kinds of wood, and he picked up the sandalwood, and he said, and of course the sandalwood. You know, you can use it for carving, but you can also use it to make lotions. It's very popular with beautiful young ladies like yourself. Which is like, yeah, we're like, yeah, we're buying something from you, because that's that deserves.
You should have told him. You need to go give the guy at the other place a bit of training, man.
Yeah, it was terrible. But yeah, like so that was got all our souvenirs there, and then after that we went up to the tea country. So you go up a mountain; the views are beautiful. And just. Tea, and it wasn't hot.
What kind of tea? Cool.
Well, they have all kinds. The main ones are, well, I would like Ceylon, because Sri Lanka used to be called Ceylon.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this little tea plantation, and like they show you around, and we got a little tour, and then you have a tea tasting, and then you go to the shop. And our girl who showed us around, she was really cute. She had the most expressive face, and I was telling her, well, okay, so there's this Sri Lankan tea that, you know, only available in Sri Lanka, and it's in a pretty golden box. And I was like, I want that. And then I told her, like, I needed something in tea bags. I needed to bring it to my work, because, you know, omiyage, you have to bring something.
Souvenirs back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I told her, well, I teach in Japan, and I need to bring something. And she's like, oh, the green tea's over here. And I was like, oh, no.
We got that covered.
Yeah, we got that covered. I'm like, Japanese people won't drink green tea from another country.
They won't even eat rice from another country.
Just like went through like this series of expressions of like, just, she was affronted, she was baffled, she was affronted again, and we were just like, it's nothing to do with you. I'm sure your green tea is perfectly fine, but Japanese people won't drink. And then she looked thoughtful, and she said, like, when they get the Japanese tourists up, they don't actually buy that much tea. And I'm like, well, stop steering them towards the, show them the stuff in the shiny golden box and tell them you can only buy that in Sri Lanka. They buy a shitload of that. And she's just like, really thought, she's like, oh, okay, so hopefully I managed to help her out there.
Yeah, you probably like increased profits in that shop by like 20% over the year.
That'd be like us going out and people like, you should try this maple syrup, it's amazing. We're like, yeah, no problem, bro. We got it covered.
No stereotypes there, Rob.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But, you know, and the other thing is, a lot of people don't realize in Japan, we have a very, very big Sri Lankan contingency. Like, I have a few Sri Lankan friends. There's actually quite a few of them here. They're amazing people.
The people were really nice.
Two Sri Lankans named Priyantha.
Yeah, well, I got about four named Priyantha.
It's a pretty common name there. You found they were pretty nice people there?
Yeah, everyone was really friendly. And you never, you know what I mean? Sometimes you go to some countries and you get the sense that the locals are trying to rip you off and just like...
Thailand.
But yeah, everyone there was just really nice and friendly and genuinely kind.
That's cool.
Mm.
I've definitely heard some good stuff about it. Yeah, like what kind of wildlife did you see?
We went to the, well, we saw elephants just on the road, which is very exciting. We're just driving along. Wow. Like, there's an elephant on the, like, you know, like we would have a moose or a bear on the side of the road in Canada. Right. And it was just an elephant. Just crossing the road with all the confidence of an animal that knows that in case of collision, he's going to be coming out of it okay. But we went to the Yala National Park. And so they drive you around in the little jeeps, like the little safari kind of thing. And we didn't see any of the, like, there's snow leopards that we didn't see. But there's just, like, all kinds of, wildlife. A lot of peacocks. Saw a lot of peacocks on that particular trip. Birds. A lot of water buffalo.
I heard they got, like, a monkey there. Did you see it? I think they call it the Rabus Beccus.
Hey! What are you doing? Are you doing like a fighter and the kid on me here? What are you doing, man?
Just messing with you. Just messing with you.
Yeah, actually, I did see that monkey. It was not tremendously good looking, but surprisingly charming. Considering.
That's very kind of you.
Did you give it some sandalwood?
There were monkeys everywhere. That was the other thing. It was elephants and monkeys just everywhere.
Oh, yeah?
And
that's
dogs,
cool. All the monkeys,
dogs.
You gotta watch yourself.
There is no place in Sri Lanka so high that you can go that there's not a stray dog. We went up to Sigiriya, which is like just a big rock. Used to be a castle on it, because the king thought rightly that if he built his castle there, no one could attack him. There's just stray dogs chilling, hanging out.
Right on.
Like that is over 1,000 steps up there, and they come up there every morning.
And they're not dangerous though. Like
No, we weren't petting them because. You don't know what. Because
they're gross.
But, you know, they're just chilling. They're hanging out, hoping for food.
And, like, big dogs, little dogs, both?
Oh, mutts, basically. So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, like, were they all, like, the same looking, or were there's,
oh,
was
no,
there
no,
variety?
I mean, there was. Like, not anyone you could see, like, oh, this is this kind of dog. They're mutts.
Yeah, it's a mutt. Cross. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Mutts. Variety of mutts.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about so in Sri Lanka? Is that one of your like Southeast Asia? Like you've traveled to a few other places as well.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
So do you want to do a ranking of like your favorite places or no?
Could you do three? Let's say.
Yeah, I think Sri Lanka would definitely be up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Laos.
I've heard good stuff about Laos as well.
Yeah. It was quiet, I guess. So there wasn't like a whole lot of like.
Did you go to Vietnam as well too though?
Sorry?
Did you go to Vietnam as well?
Yeah, years and years and years ago.
I'm always wondering because people say like which one is better, and I'm curious to like if people have been to both.
Yeah, I mean I would, it depends what you want. I mean I heard that like things like Ho Chi Minh and that have become quite modernized, so
yeah, that's what I heard
you
too.
Know, yeah, whereas Laos was still very
rural,
not modernized. Cambodia was also
Ho Chi Minh. I mean it's supposed to be really for tourists nowadays. I mean they've really stepped up the game. They got hotels and they got tours and they got all that kind of stuff like that, but you can still like do that big river tour where you go down the river and they pull you in on the rafts and you can go to the little bars and stuff like that's really intriguing. But Laos definitely. Go ahead, Jay.
I went to Ho Chi Minh and I liked it, but actually if I were to go back to Thailand I'd rather go up north to Hanoi, which is just, it's a little more picturesque. I mean Ho Chi Minh, you know, formerly Saigon, is basically just a flat city on the plain. It's close to the something delta, I can't think of it what it's called right now, but you know, you see those pictures of Vietnam where they got like the jutting rocks out of the water and like the boats, I think the Chinese junks they used to call them back in the day. Yeah, exactly, Ha Long Bay, which is, that's up near Hanoi. So if I were to go back, that's definitely where I would want to go visit, and I would like to go back, and that's where I want to go visit. So
what about Cambodia? So,
yeah, Cambodia.
I've been to Cambodia. Have you been there?
Yeah, Angkor Wat. Just to Angkor Wat.
Oh, okay. That's what everyone, like all the Japanese people, like I just had my students came back from Angkor Wat as well. And it's like, what'd you do in Cambodia? I went to Angkor Wat.
I mean,
it's
like the Great Wall of China where you're like, yeah, this is my brother great. Went to the Great Wall of China a while back, and he was like, yeah, it was actually great. And I'm like, what did you expect? He's like, you know, could have been overblown, like, could have been oversold. Like,
they're overselling the Great Wall of China.
Have you guys
the Great Wall's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. No, it's great, Jay. It's great.
Did you think we were toboggan down see. The Great Wall of China after you were finished? On, like, a metal chute?
No, I didn't do that. But when I... I went and it was like, it was literally so foggy that you could only see about 5 feet in front of you. Yeah. So it was like, okay, I'm on the Great Wall and I can see like the part of the Great Wall I'm on. but when we were driving there, we could see it the whole way. It was just only the spot we went to.
To be honest, that's like climbing Fuji, dude. I mean, when you're on Fuji, you can only see the part you're climbing. You don't see, right?
That is something I still have not done.
Really? I thought I did it with you. I guess not, since you're saying that.
Interesting. I feel that Fuji can be best appreciated from the bottom, at some sort of outdoor onsen with a good view and a glass of something in your hand. You just sit there and admire.
Come on,
Elisa,
you gotta climb it. Well, you gotta climb it one time.
No,
come
I don't.
On, you've been in
no,
Japan
I
for 70. Well, you're right. You don't have to, but it's pretty cool at the top. It's something to see. I mean, it's
I've
not like
the top
anywhere
of a lot
else
of
I've
places,
ever been.
And you know, I feel like Fuji's good, but.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, though. It is awesome sitting in an onsen looking at Mount Fuji. So
I had a friend who climbed Fuji, and she got sick, like the altitude sickness, and had such a terrible time that she actually couldn't look at Fuji afterwards without kind of making a hissing sound. It was so terrible. Like, you'd be like, here's a picture of Fuji.
The venom coming out.
You know, I don't want to experience. I want to just enjoy Fuji.
Yeah. All right. I mean, beauty can be appreciated. You know, you don't have to be climbing it. I mean, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time when we went up, she fell asleep at the top. She was passed out. She'd been driving all day too. She drove us to like Fuji-Q Highland, and then we went and climbed that night.
Oh God.
Oh,
She was a smoker too, so it wasn't easy on her.
Oh. Yeah, we were both smoking all the way up. I was drinking on the way up, so yeah.
Oh, dear
not
God.
Not the best thing to do. In my Vans. Wearing Vans.
I've heard that the worst part is the climb down, because you can see your car in the parking lot for hours, but you're no closer to actually getting there.
Yeah, I slipped all the way down. It was bad. It was hard.
Yeah, see, this just doesn't make me want to go.
No, I don't. I agree with you. I'm with you. Like, I mean, people who want to climb, if you want to do it and you want to go and make the challenge and whatever, it's great. But if you want to do what you do and where you go to a place where you can appreciate and look at it and enjoy a nice dry gin from whatever the Kirin is making it. You said they're making it now?
Yeah, Kyoto.
There you go. You know, that's another way to do it. Yeah. For sure.
Rob, I can't believe you don't know that.
Me?
I just thought that would be like in your realm of things that you know.
I don't drink gin, man.
Well, that would be why then. So why don't we move on to Japan, since we sort of came back to this country? Pretty broad question, but what's it like being like female in Japan, Lisa?
I honestly have no idea how to answer that question, because I don't know what it's like to be male in Japan.
I'm just sort of going for a random smattering of things that
female, I think you get a different perspective than you would as a Japanese female. I think, like, for me, one of the things that sums up most about Japanese attitudes towards gender is that it took more than 10 years for the modern version of the pill to be approved for sale and prescription here, whereas Viagra was pushed through in 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially for the
right
pill, not only that,
for
my wife has endometriosis, right? So, I mean, she went through a lot of, we had, like, getting the pill is actually a huge thing, especially getting it regulated so that she can write it off as a medical expense as well, too. I mean, crazy. They're so far behind the times.
A lot of women's stuff are just sort of, it's just you guys being crazy. Like, no, there's an actual
hysterics.
Medical problem. I had a friend who recently gave birth, and afterwards she was quite sort of like sorer than she should have been, basically, and like she couldn't sit, and like she's telling her husband, like, you know, the doctors were just like, no, it's fine, it's just normal, and her husband was like, just, you know, you gotta suck it up. And she finally like put her foot down, and they went to the hospital and they checked her out, and they were like, oh, that's not, we'd left the, she had an infection that had been left untreated for a couple more days, she might have died.
Oh my god.
But just everyone was just like, no,
it's all natural.
What blew me away when my wife had her boy was a no, what do they call the painkillers when women... Yeah, no epidurals.
Can get them, but you have to choose your hospital carefully. I know a lot about this recently. You have to choose your hospital carefully, and even then, you have to actually sign up for it. Like, you can't just go to the hospital and be like, I decided I want an epidural. Like, you have to book it months in advance. Because my friend went to the doctor, and he was trying to talk her out of it. And eventually he said, well, you know, like, American women feel pain more than Japanese women. That's why there's more epidurals. And we're just like, that's not how biology works. That's not how American people work. Like, you know, like, there's a lot of those American women are of Japanese origin. He's like, but then he went on to say that, like, well, if she wanted one, she's going to have to make up her mind quickly because they book out quickly. She's like, well, what is it? Like, either, but a lot of people, that, like, the women that she encountered didn't even know what it was, never mind that it was available.
Yeah, I mean, they just left my wife to suffer all day. It was honestly one of the hardest things I've ever seen, just watching her in pain. Mm. And, like, and they wouldn't do anything about it. They're just like, it's gumbadoo. Okay, it'll be later. Yeah, gumbadoo. It's like, but, you know, I found out, this is like, I mean, that's a female-specific thing, but they're really, like, they don't like to give painkillers in this country. Mm. They figure you should just suck it up.
Yeah.
And I got a wisdom tooth taken out. Mm-hmm. Worst experience of my life. Mm-hmm. They hit the nerve, and I actually couldn't feel, like, the left side of my bottom jaw for, it took about 4 months before I could actually feel it all again. You know, it was gradual over that time, but it felt like when they did it, even though I was, like, pumped full of painkillers at the moment, because I was complaining the whole time. I was like, it still hurts. So he kept adding more and more injections. And then when he pulled it out, even though I was full of, like, painkillers, it felt like someone splashed water on my face initially, but it was actually just my whole nerve shorting out, essentially. And so then when the painkillers started wearing off, it hurt so bad. And so they give me some painkillers, and they're like, take one of these every 3 hours. Well, it took four of them to get rid of the pain.
It's probably and like, so, a like Tylenol my, or something.
Like, well, it wasn't. It was not Voltron. That's a TV show, isn't it?
No, Voltaren is stuff for, like, backs and stuff.
Voltaren,
like that.
That's what it was.
Was it? Yeah, Voltaren. Yeah, that's actually, that's like a lesser T3. It's not even comparable, man. I've had them before as well, too. But,
well, yeah. I mean, they gave me a 7-day supply, and I was literally done with it in 2 days. So I go to a different doctor, you know, my regular doctor, because I got that done at a dental hospital. And so I went, that's where they gave me the prescription. So I go to my regular doctor, and I said, doctor, look, I'm in pain. I want some codeine. I was like, if I was in Canada, they'd give me T3. I was like, I want some codeine. I don't want to be taking these things like I am. I'm eating them like candy. And so he takes the time. He's never prescribed codeine ever before. Mm-hmm. It was his first time ever. So we get online and we look up, like, how much is in a dose of T3. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and he finds out what the doses are here. And so he got it all out and he writes the prescription. So I go down the road to the pharmacy and I give him the prescription. And the lady looks at the prescription. She looks at me just like, I'm a junkie. and she's like, sit down and wait over there. And so she goes and she talks with the pharmacist and she calls me back over. And she's like, we're not allowed to prescribe these for you. Oh, no. First, she called my doctor. She didn't even talk to me. She called my doctor and talked to him, and then she gets off. She's like, well, I just talked to your doctor. We're not allowed to give these out unless you have terminal illness.
Oh, God.
I was like, what? I was like, but my doctor gave me a prescription. She's like, yeah, you need a terminal illness before you can get codeine. And she's like, but we have Voltaren. And I just talked to your doctor, and he said I could give you a prescription for those. So I was like, so they actually gave me the
as crazy the bum as that ones. Sounds, and they don't have the opioid epidemic that they do in North America.
You know, yeah. So, to be fair, there's no one on Oxycontin here.
No.
There's not a single Oxycontin junkie in this entire country. So you are, you know, there's pluses and minuses with everything. So you do have a good point with that.
Yeah, I mean, that said, I do bring ibuprofen in from Canada whenever I go by stopping at Costco and like double strength, hoard that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not even a guy who likes taking painkillers generally. Like, I'll try and grunt out as much as I can. But when I got that wisdom tooth out, it was rough.
I imagine that sucks.
Worst experience of my life, honestly. It was horrible. Anyways, let's not relive that. So going back, so yeah, what's it like being a woman in Japan?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's hard to say because I don't know what the alternative is like.
Well, okay, what's it like being a Lisa in Japan then?
Oh, it's pretty great. That's a better question.
It's honestly pretty great. Like I said, I have a job I enjoy. I get to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spend all my money on shoes if I want.
Shoes? Is that what you spend your money on?
No, but I'm going.
If you want to,
but you could.
I want it. Yeah, I could do whatever I wanted. Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, for me, like, the travel is kind of the biggest thing. It's just, I feel like if I was living in Canada, it would be harder to jet off to wherever.
Well, we just don't have places in proximity there like we do here, right? I mean, you got the States, or if you really want to push it, you got Mexico.
Mm. Yeah, everything
that's quite or Hawaii.
Mm. Also part of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does your brother live in Korea? Am I imagining that? Did. Or did he?
He did for 3 years.
So he's not there anymore then.
Yeah, no, it was just his job posting. I spent a lot of time in Korea because it's really easy to get there. They had a sweet, sweet apartment in the Canadian embassy. So,
Canadian embassy?
Yeah, he was working for the Canadian embassy. So they've actually got at the embassy in Seoul, what they've got is 4 floors of apartments, like 1 apartment per floor, basically. I think people without kids, because they have a certain rule of how big the place should be. So if you're single or just a couple without kids, you get, and these we're talking 3-bedroom apartments. And so I'd go over and visit, and I had my own bedroom, I had my own bathroom, they had central heating, they had central air. I didn't see a lot of Seoul, because I'd get there, like in the middle of summer or in the middle of winter, and just sit down and be like, I'm not leaving.
Don't want to leave.
Yeah, and you know, my brother had this sweet, he had a walk-in pantry that half of it was beer. And just nice. I'm not leaving until it's time to go out for dinner, because that's just sightseeing, schmightseeing.
You can't see it right now, but a little bit of drool just slipped out of Rob's mouth, I think, when you said that.
That was a good 3 years. My passport was just like crazy looking with all the Korean entry.
That's awesome.
And because it's so close that I could go for really short holidays as well.
I never knew that. Crazy.
And so what's your what do you got on tap for your next travels here?
Summer holiday, I'm going to the UK to visit...
Ooh. London?
I will end up in London. I'm flying into Edinburgh. And there
Scotland.
Yeah, I'm going to spend a day or two...
I just watched Trainspotting last night.
And then I've got a friend who lives up in Iona, which is this small island, I think the Hebrides. So it's like from Glasgow, you've got to take a train for 4 hours, and then a ferry for an hour, and then a bus for an hour, and then a ferry for 10 minutes. And then you're on this island that you can just literally walk around.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's living out there with his wife, so... I didn't get to make it out to their wedding because they got married on a time when I didn't have a holiday, which is, I think, very selfish of them. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Right?
Yeah, so instead I'm going to show up at their place and stay for 5 days and possibly go on some boat rides and spend a lot of time catching up on my reading. And I have no time. Do you have any idea how long my backlog is?
No, I can imagine it's probably about 20 years or so.
Yeah, and I've got a Kindle, so you can put a lot of books on those things now. It's like, ooh, it's insane.
You've switched to the Kindle. You're not a traditional paperbacker anymore.
No, I got a Kindle a few years ago as a birthday gift, and I haven't looked back. I was very traditional before that, and I was like, no, I don't really want the Kindle. And my parents were just like, just get the Kindle, and they gave me the Kindle, and I was like,
I have to have the paper. I can't do it. It's too hard in my eyes. That's why you can't sleep.
The Kindle you can change the font size.
No, it doesn't matter. It's when you're trying to get sleep, right?
And the Kindles don't have that. They cut out the blue light, and the way they do it, Kindles actually don't disrupt your sleep patterns.
Yeah, it's basically the same as reading a book. It's not like reading on the iPad. Mine is an old one. It doesn't even have the back light, which is annoying on flights. But I mean, because I am going, my next flight is going to be from Tokyo to Qatar, which is like 10 hours plus, 4 hours in the airport, and then over 7 hours to Edinburgh.
Isn't there like a no-fly zone in Qatar now? Aren't they cutting that off?
Ooh.
Kind of, but it depends. Only other countries to Qatar are cut off. So if you're flying direct from Asia to Qatar, you'll be fine.
Okay, good.
And from Qatar to somewhere outside of the Middle East.
Well, I haven't gotten any messages from the travel company, right. So we'll check that out. Do you have any idea how many actual paper books I would have to cart around to get through? Not even like getting once I'm in the UK, but
to get there. Just to fly it over, and then the transit, and then the amount of reading that you can get done is hours and hours and hours. So So what do you got on tap? You said you're gonna reread American Gods again.
Gods. Who knows what I'll be reading by then. I'm trying to put up a list of. Well, I don't want to read a lot of really serious stuff because my brain's gonna be fried. So I'm looking up a lot of mystery novels.
Nice.
Light fluffy stuff. Suspense.
Fun fact. Do you guys know it's not actually Qatar, it's Qatar?
Qatar.
I did not know.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Anyways, that's my fun fact.
Qatar.
Have you been to the UK before? Is this your first trip?
No, but I was there because I lived in Holland for a year when I was 19. And so I went up a couple.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just impulse moved to Europe.
She told us that.
Huh. I don't think I remember you telling me that, honestly. Yeah. Did you partake of any of their legal marijuana?
I did not. Although in some parts of Amsterdam, you could walk by some of the stores and basically get contact high. I've actually never...
Get a good whiff?
Yeah. I tried marijuana. I did the whole thing where I tried it once and it didn't do anything. I was like, I'd rather drink alcohol. Which Amsterdam is also remarkably good for.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
They cater to both.
Yeah. They're open people.
It's Europe. Alcohol is the default. Amsterdam just adds the marijuana.
Yeah, pretty much.
In Europe, basically, it's all alcohol.
So, yeah, I've been up to London before. And I'll be going back down after Iona, stay a night in Glasgow, and then down to London for 3 days to visit a friend.
Nice. Yeah. Will it be your first time in Scotland, then?
No, I've been to Edinburgh, but it was just that was 20 years ago and kind of a one or two night stop. So... it'll be interesting to see it again.
Scotland is the number one country I would like to visit that I've never been to.
Really?
It's at the top of my list. Yeah, I just have never gotten out that way, unfortunately. Mm. But I really, really want to go, so I'm pretty envious of your trip when you're talking about that there.
Yeah, it was kind of not really last minute. I planned it a couple months ago, but I was between that or going to Australia. And
Australia.
Australia, yeah. I've eventually decided to go to Australia for a week in October instead. It's just a bit easier to get
nice.
To.
Nice. Yeah, and where are you going to go?
Adelaide. I'm going to go visit Liz.
I won't see you then. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's cool. You've been there before, though, right? To Australia.
Yeah, Sydney and Brisbane.
Yeah, I remember seeing your pictures.
Jay's really trying hard to get the lingo down.
Australia.
Australia.
You don't want to be like... But you don't want to be like, so when I was in high school, we had an American substitute teacher, like she was born in America and she'd moved to Canada. And I guess before she came, she'd really read up on the stereotype that Canadian people say A all the time after every sentence. So she worked. She worked really hard at putting A after literally everything she said.
Ugh.
She sounded like, and we were just like, just this class of students just staring at her like, is she making fun of us? She apologized. She was like, I'm sorry, I worried about Jay, the same thing.
Like, he's gonna go to Australia. He's gonna be like, hey, mate. He's like calling me mate. He's like, he's mailing me. He's like, all right, mate. It's like, just stop it.
No, but I will actually do it, but I'll be doing it ironically, not as an honest effort to try and blend in with the locals. I'll be doing it to have fun. No, I'll be having fun with them. Aussies are fun people. I'll be able to play with them. What are you talking about, mate?
Yeah, but that's just being a douche.
No. That's being a douche, mate.
Oh, he's going to make so many friends. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Aussies are fun people. No, they like are. Me.
Okay, well, let's bounce it out. We're planning on having, hopefully, if we can get... if we can get Eden on, then we maybe get his opinion on it. He's our Aussie friend, plays in a rock band.
Ooh, try out your accent on him.
I want to see yeah. it. I want him to go, like, top three things that Jay could try out on Aussie. And then he'd be like, nah, mate. That'll be fun. Yeah,
I mean, you can pick up little verbal tics quite quickly.
Yeah.
I had a student went to New Zealand for like 3 weeks and came back, and every time you asked him something, he answered,
Yeah.
Did your homework?
What's going to be interesting?
Yeah.
What's going to be interesting is watching my boy, who won't be doing it ironically. He's probably just going to pick up the accent. I mean, he hasn't hit.
If you guys
stay there
for any amount of time, he's going to have a really cool accent. It's going to be a Canadian, Aussie, Japanese accent.
Indian.
It's going to be Indian. Yeah, that's right. Because he's been going to school at the Indian immersion school for a long time too. So he's going to have a. He's got a lot of dialects that he's been picking up. He's going to be pretty amazing, probably.
I already like his accent. I mean, he's got a unique accent like no one else in the world because, you know, it's not Japanese at all. It's not even at all Japanese, but it's definitely not Canadian either. It's his only. So I like his accent quite a bit. I'm a fan. Granted, I'm a little biased.
A little bit, but I've heard him speak too, and so I can definitely agree with that. It's unique for sure.
But I think it will be quite interesting once he starts to pick up some Aussie in him as well.
He's gonna say yeah every time. He's gonna be like yeah. That's all he's gonna do. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's cool though. I like that.
I've got a couple of students who they lived in Australia for a few years, and they've got, when they speak English, they've got this adorable little Australian accent.
That's cool, eh? Kids are amazing that way. Eh? See, I do say A all the time. I'm the stereotype, and I spread it. I go around the world and I talk to people, and it's like, wow, Canadians really do say A all the time.
What they don't say is aboot, which is annoying as hell.
I had a friend insist that I was saying aboot. She's like, you just said it. You said it. I'm like, I said about. I said about like a normal person. Like, aboot, aboot. What is wrong with you?
They say it more, it's not as strong as the Americans like to make up, but the farther east you go, they actually do say it to some degree. I mean, it's not as strong as people like to pretend it is, or Americans like to pretend it is, but they don't know what they're talking about.
No.
Oh, geez. You just ruined it. Oh, that's awesome.
Having fun with the lingo. I like that, though. I like being able to do that.
That's good.
So,
go ahead.
Let's get a couple final thoughts. Like, what would you give as advice for any females who are coming to look to live in Japan, Elisa?
Well, or trying to stay long-term. Practical advice. Load up on bras before you get over here.
Good call.
If you're of size, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just straight up part. It's like, you think you can, I don't care how skinny you think you are, brought clothes as well. Like, just be careful. And I mean, like, I guess if you're really hoping to settle down with a Japanese guy, you might want a bit more work than you were perhaps expecting. They do tend to be.
Are you talking about like housework?
Yeah, there's that as well. I mean, my number one thing is just seriously, I'm just like, no bras. And like, but what about all the philosophical? I'm like, just bring bras. Everything else is sorted.
17 years of experience. Bras. 17 years of experience boiled down into 2 cups.
Yeah. It's a very interesting kind of, you know, you've lived here for as long as I have. It's an interesting country, but it is in a lot of ways sort of stuck. You might be a bit surprised. Like, there's some very old-fashioned values, perhaps.
I think you got to be really comfortable with yourself as well. I think that goes a long way. Like, you've always, for as long as I've known you, you've always been very, very self-aware, very comfortable with what you're doing. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, like, you're willing to say, you know, tell it like it is as well, which is, which I love. But yeah, you can't be very timid, I guess.
Yeah, well, I would warn you too that it can be very hard on the self-esteem here, because as we pointed out, like, the Japanese women tend to be very beautiful and also very petite and wearing makeup to go to the supermarket and stuff. So you
right?
Yeah, you can feel a little bit like, why do I even bother?
It's so bad though.
So what have you found to cope with that then? Like, you know, how have you found it in yourself to be able to survive with that?
I think a lot of it's just, I think a lot of just not giving a shit. You can come in with
cheers.
That. And getting older helps as well, because I think in any country, as you get older, you get more comfortable in your own skin. And it's just like, you don't like it, I don't care.
Yeah. Do you think your knowledge of that and the way you've been able to adapt to society, your language skills as well and stuff like that, does that help as well?
My language skills are still shit.
Are they?
Oh, God. My Japanese is so bad. Yeah, after 17 years. It's embarrassing. I'm a terrible student. I don't self-study very well.
I don't either, but...
Yeah, you've got a wife and kids, so I assume there's a bit of... I get home, I'm just
true,
like...
True, true. I mean, I have to use it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I have a fair bit, like, I can get by, but it's just like, it's just like, it's after 17 years here, it is embarrassing. But yeah, you can get by. A lot of it's willingness to not, you know, miming helps a lot, and making a fool of yourself.
Self-deprecation.
It's interesting, because, I mean, most people who are here as long as you do definitely do seem to speak a fair bit, so it's interesting that you say that,
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I don't speak any Japanese, but yeah, it's just, I think because a lot of my Japanese is spoken with the kids I work with. So when I do speak Japanese, it tends to be, it comes off as a bit childish, which is a bit embarrassing. It's like,
I mean, that's how I started as well, except that also I was just talking to girls, so I sounded like a girl child. And as a 24-year-old man, that's pretty emasculating.
But, I mean, I can see how that would be intriguing to the ladies. Like, you know, he's so big and scary, but he sounds like a little girl, so.
It's so endearing.
Yes. It's adorable.
I spent a period of time watching Yakuza movies and, like, copying their, like, gruff accent just to try and I didn't necessarily want to talk like an Yakuza, but I just wanted to hear like how like the more like male guttural talk was, so kind of listen to it a bit.
Yeah, definitely throwing yourself into studying the language would have been a good thing to do a good 10 years ago in my case.
Is that something you would recommend for girls coming over then?
That's something I'd recommend for anyone coming over, but yeah, especially for girls, because I think you said with guys, like, you have a lot more chance to practice your Japanese, and like the
true enough,
yeah, like little cute little women who come over and like, ooh, whereas like, yeah, whereas Japanese men to be a bit more frightened of you to begin with.
Well, so. on that same note, we might also have more availability of people to assist us because we are spending more time with girls. I mean, I remember getting girls to help me with a lot of things back in the early days, so.
Well, as did I. Just, although
you, girls are friends with girls. Yeah. You just weren't trying to sleep with them. Yeah. Huh. Mm. Bit of a different thing. Yeah,
so, I mean, it is actually quite. It's been quite interesting. I think, because one thing I get is I get the perspective of the Japanese women, on like, well, on the life in Japan, and also even the foreign guys. Not as flattering as you might expect sometimes.
Well, tell us some, honestly, because I mean, I might, you know, turn off the podcast and cry myself to sleep tonight, but I'm still kind
of
curious.
No, I mean, I think sort of a big part of it was like a lot of the. I mean, like, it goes both ways. Like, so a lot of the girls who are... And again, we're talking about, like, the young people here. Like, the people coming over as ALTs. They're 22, 23, 24.
Sure. Yeah.
Not people... I'm sure your wives love you for who you are.
Sort of.
Not just for your ability to procure Australian visas. But, you know, like, a lot of the girls are saying, like... You know, like, you get the guys coming up and thinking, like, oh, I just love Japanese women. And they're just like, you know, I'm a person, right? Like... Cause I guess
that's interesting because I felt the other way around before. Like, girls are like, I love foreign men. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, like, what it about definitely me? Works both ways. But
yeah, I definitely hear what they're saying with that. So anyway, sorry, go on.
Well, I mean, that was basically it. It's yeah, like, you know, because like, you get the guys who are like, oh, I love Japanese women. It's like, you've got a checklist in your head of what you think Japanese women are like. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just because like the people I know tend to be the ones who are more likely to hang out with foreigners and have unorthodox views, but... Yeah, none of the Japanese ladies I know fit any of those stereotypes, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And so do you have lots of Japanese female friends?
Yeah. But like, they pretty much, most of them speak really excellent English, so we end up, like, we could converse in Japanese or we could have a much better conversation in English. Because, again, like, a lot of it is a lot of them have been overseas, and that's why they're more open to, I guess, being friends with foreigners. But yeah, like, you meet a lot of, I think you get a lot more chance to meet a lot of people and get the insider perspective.
So you're pretty happy with your time overall in Japan then?
Yeah.
It's been a good 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Everyone else, all the other girls I met are really, really bitter. Sorry, I'm talking over you. There's a lot of people that get bitter after a few years though.
Yeah. So, well, like, yeah, that's just to do with, you know, basically being treated as invisible a long time.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't do a number on a person.
No, it's fact of life. It's really, really true. Like, people don't who listen like, don't realize that it's hard. It's hard. It's for the guys. It's like, yay, we're having a great time, and it's everyone's like, yeah. But for the women, they go through a lot more having to really re-identify themselves or whatever, you know, like. Who am I? Like, am I lovable? And all that. I mean, I've met girls that are like, do I have meme? Do I matter? It's like, yeah, you do. But here, it's, like you said, it's a combination of they are either they don't have the context to be able to communicate with you, right? Even the teachers, there's way more male teachers that even, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have the capacity to believe that they would be able to talk to a foreign woman. You know, it's like, yeah, it's pretty sad. It's a sad state of affairs here, folks. And then, yes.
Finished.
Sorry. I didn't know where to go from there. I was like, oh, it's like I'm trying to sympathize, but I can't.
On that incredibly depressing note, yes, come to Japan, ladies. You'll be fat and unlovable.
No. Oh, God, that's not. I hope that's not what I came off trying to say. leave it to Lisa to, like, make me feel like that's what I'm coming off as. Oh, my goodness. But yeah.
Well, no, but I think it's important to have a realistic idea of what it's going to be. True. Like. And I think the nice thing about you having been here as long as you have been, Elisa, is you've whatever issues there are, you've come to accept them as they are and obviously dealt with them. You wouldn't still be here. And the fact that you still like it shows that for all the issues that there are there, they can be gotten beyond and still be an enjoyable place to live. So. Or at least that's what I like to take out of what you've been saying.
That sounds way better than what I just went through.
I'm J-fucking friendly. I never swear on this podcast and I just busted out the F-bomb.
Really?
Way to go. So,
my mom listens.
Yeah.
So, love you, Mom. So I try. It's not that I have any problem swearing. Oh, I mean,
speaking
I'm
of that,
a swearer,
Jay,
but
it's Father's Day next weekend, and it's the same in Japan it is in Canada. So get your...
Rob screwed up my Mother's Day last month.
You screwed up your Mother's Day. Don't blame it on me, man.
What did you do?
Throwing you under the bus again? No, it's not. It's kind of Rob's fault.
It's not my fault at all. I said it's on the same day. Mother's Day in Japan is the same as in Canada. You thought that it was on a different weekend. And so you called your house or like, Happy Mother's Day. Or no, you called your in Japan.
Well,
like,
first I got my wife to send her mom a message saying Happy Mother's Day. Then I called my own mom and said Happy Mother's Day. And my mom says, Mother's Day's next week. And I was like, oh, Rob told me the wrong week. But
I didn't tell you the wrong week.
It turned out Rob didn't tell me the wrong week. Rob just told me they were the same day and I got the week wrong.
Well, when I was living in Holland, I had a calendar that I'd gotten from the UK. And apparently they celebrate Mother's Day in like March or something. So
right,
I was like,
exactly.
Yeah, I was on my, you know, looked at my calendar. It was like, oh my God, it's Mother's Day. And I was like, how did I not even notice? Like I didn't notice any advertisement. So I called my mom long distance. I'm like, Happy Mother's Day. And she was like, it's March. What are you?
It's not even close. Yeah.
Oops.
So seriously though, Father's Day's this upcoming Sunday, like the one that's 5-6 days from now.
Although it'll be, you'll actually, because it's, I think it's in September in Australia, so you can get Father's Day toys.
Australia?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, that's good. I can hit another one, but all my dads are in Canada, so.
Yeah, I'll make the rounds of phone calls.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I'm going to play off that. Sometimes I forget that I am a father and it's supposed to be celebrated towards me and not just from me.
Yeah.
Make sure they alternate between the mugs and the ties.
I haven't worn a suit in quite a while and I don't intend on wearing one for quite a while.
Oh, you're not going to have to wear one when you go to Australia? There's not going to be times where you're going into the office or anything like that?
Well, I won't have to wear them in the office, but maybe when I go visit clients or have clients come to the office, I might need to, but I don't think they're as big a suit culture. I think it's more just like, you know, a polo and some slacks is kind of the impression I get. But I'm going to take a couple suits. Well, I'm only going to take a couple.
You got tailor-made suits in Thailand. You got spiffy suits, man.
Well, not just Thailand. I got a tailor-made suits in Japan as well. I got some pretty nice suits, honestly. But the problem is I lost a whole lot of weight since I got them all made. I mean, I haven't worn a suit regularly for 7 years now.
Well, no problem. Yeah, just go to Australia, drink a lot of beer. You can back up.
Either that or go to Australia and get them to customize and get it fit again.
Well, I actually would like to get a suit made here before I go because Japanese suits are nice. They make some nice suits here. So, but I also have like a reifuku, like a, what do you call that? Like a formal wear, like a proper formal suit. I'll bring that and I'll bring one other suit. Now, whether I get a new suit made or I bring one I have. But if I do, I need to get it cinched up a bit. I definitely have lost a bunch of weight. So this actually happened as last year. At least I taught a junior UN thing with Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to wear like a, you know, slacks and a polo shirt. And he's like, no, you have to wear a suit. And I bust out my suit and that thing's huge. I mean, it's just way too big for me. It's like, oh, I guess I haven't worn this in a while. So it's, fortunately, I'm going the opposite direction of many people in my old age. I've actually been getting skinnier rather than fatter. So I'm pretty happy about that because I was getting pretty fat there for a few years.
Show off.
show.
it's dress and old age.
That's good. I think you should take her advice and just go and drink a lot of Australian beer.
Yeah.
Australia.
Stop Australian beer. That, please.
I know. Isn't it annoying? Like, can you imagine what he's going to be like in Australia already?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's like Tourette's.
He's going to beat up so bad.
It is, isn't it? Like, it's not even there yet. And he keeps busting out, and he keeps telling people, like, I sound like an English person. It's like, no, you don't even sound like an English person. You sound like a Canadian doing a bad impersonation of an accent.
I should just start saying, Straya, eh?
Straya, eh?
Hey.
Oh, God. That's funny.
Right on.
That's good.
All right, so, Lisa, do you want to tie this up with any last comments? You got any last things to say? You got any things you want to plug? I don't know if you have I don't think you're a Twitterer, but if you are, feel free to plug that if you want to, or not, if you don't, or anything else. This is your moment to shine.
If you're not already friends with me on Facebook, that's, just not happening. If you're not already friends with me on Facebook, I don't really care about you.
Everybody go troll her.
I'm glad we're friends on Facebook then, because this was a pretty fun conversation. Definitely enjoyed having you on here. It's been a good couple laughs.
Yeah, I can't promise that I'm
at my expense to this, mostly, but
might
thank
get, like,
you guys.
3 minutes in and then cringe.
Right.
I think literally pretty much every one of our guests says that. They listen to it after and they're like, my voice sounds so messed up.
Yeah, well, I already know that my voice is, whenever I listen to my voice, it's always way higher pitched than it is in my head, and it's just like, do I sound like Minnie Mouse all the time? Like,
no.
Is that a thing?
I think you sound great, and you've been a great guest, and everything that I hoped that you would be, just fun and dry and witty and knowledgeable and everything. So yeah, I'd like to thank you for coming on at last, especially at the last minute kind of deal,
with absolutely no warning about what I was actually supposed to be doing.
Yeah, this is kind of what we do, and it's fun.
Yeah, we just chat. That's why they end up being 2 hours sometimes, because, there's stuff to say. So, I mean, it's not like we say, we're going to do this for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We just talk until we're done talking. So, and that's what we just did. We did until we're done talking. So, thanks for coming, everybody. Sayonara!